saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome you into a very special post-fight show as Canelo Alvarez defeats Jermell Charlo, drops him in the 7th, checks a lot of boxes, gets his hand raised. I'm Dan Canelo. He is former world champion Chris Algieri. Chris, we came into this fight. At least I thought this biggest storyline is, what does Canelo have left? And the resounding answer after that fight was a lot, because he has power, he has stamina, he has hunger, he has chin. Vintage Canelo performance over Jermell Charlo.
Yeah, I mean, we predicted that in our final podcast before the show, after the weigh-in. We said, you know, you said a vintage Canelo. I said we're gonna see a Caleb Plant type performance, and we did. We just didn't have a willing dance partner, so the fight was not as exciting as we would have liked. But Canelo looked very good.
Yeah, Canelo looked great. He lands 40% of his power. He lands 30% of his jabs. He lands 35% of his total punches. That's Canelo to a T. He out jabs Jermell Charlo. Charlo threw more jabs, but Canelo landed more. And you know, talking with you all week long and the lead up to this fight, it was like we said, how is Jermell Charlo going to win this fight? It all starts with the jab. It all starts with movement. It all starts with getting the attention of Canelo. He did none of that, man. The first 4 or 5 rounds, he barely threw any punches. When he did have any success, it was behind the jab. It was few and far between from Jermell Charlo. We can talk about him first before we get to Canelo. Just didn't show up. I mean, he had moments where he put together his combinations and they looked powerful. But he goes down in the 7th, just didn't really do anything in there that we thought he would need to do to win this fight.
In his defense, he did not look like himself. And I saw the writing on the wall at the weigh-in. Physique-wise, I didn't see the same guy. You know, the extra weight didn't look good on him. He didn't look as physically imposing as he normally does. He didn't look as lean. You know, just carrying around that extra weight, man, it's just not going to be there. And then he just didn't seem confident. And a lot of that can come from being in shape. When you know you're in shape, you know you've put your body through the rigors. You're mentally and psychologically there. I didn't feel that from Charlo all week, and it showed on fight night. He didn't come out with any kind of confidence. I think each guy landed one punch in the first round. The first round was a complete throwaway. And I'm watching. I'm like, we're 90 seconds into the first round. Neither guy's thrown a punch. Right. Which I'm not surprised for Canelo, because he does that. He analyzes, he collects data early on. He walks a guy down. And I actually said that he's going to do that, especially because Canelo, because Charlo has fast hands. There was no fast hands from Charlo.
Nothing.
Canelo was the faster guy. More explosive, quicker, faster jabs, better head movement, everything. Everything that I thought that Charlo was good at, things that he would be good at, he didn't show up with at all. I'm gonna blame the stage, and I'm gonna blame the weight. I think the weight was really a real hindrance for him.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that were skeptical about this fight. The Undisputed versus Undisputed was a great marketing ploy and a great way to, you know, reel in some casuals and have a storyline for this fight. But you talk to like a hardened boxing fan or someone that has seen a lot of boxing, and they would tell you, man, a guy jumping up 154 to 168. And off of a really long layoff, off of a hand injury. So the writing was on the wall. Right, and he's fighting Canelo, who's very, very hungry. So, you know, Jermell's going to have to go back to the drawing board. He didn't do himself any favors in this fight. Like, I have no real interest, sadly, in wanting to see him fight a Crawford if Crawford goes to 154. He'll have to bounce back with a win, reestablish himself. Did make himself very wealthy with this fight. But he'll have to go back to the drawing board. Jermell Charlo. As for Canelo, man, what did you see in there that we all saw? What made him so special tonight? Just a vintage performance.
Yeah, I mean, he turned back the clock. He looked like a tank. He looked physically strong.
Dude, he was throwing huge shots early.
Just selling out defensively, just loading up and throwing bombs. He went back to that overhand right to the shoulder that he used against Callum Smith. He uses that against taller guys really well. He did that a little bit early on with Jermell. It was the very first round. He threw one of those shots and it hit Jermell on the shoulder, and you could just see Jermell was like, oh shit. Yep. Like this guy's really strong. And I think a lot of the posturing early on from Canelo was to show him that listen, dude, this is my weight class. Listen, Cabrone, this is my weight class. I'm stronger than you. The headlocks.
Yeah.
He was squeezing his head so hard every single time that they came close like that. He was showing him how strong he was. And Charlo seemed like he was getting the message. Like, yeah, this guy's really strong. Dude, and I'm in the wrong weight class.
He was loading up on big shots early, getting the attention of Charlo, just showed that he was on the stage for a long time. And you're so right with the, this is my weight class. You might be a bigger, you know, physically look like you're bigger, but no, he did come in in really good shape, did look like a tank. I like the fact throwing those big shots early just to get the attention of Charlo. But then he just showed a lot of great facets in there to be able to out jab Charlo. And that's something that Canelo got away from. He only landed 10 jabs in the B-ball fight. So for him to establish that jab, and I thought Al Bernstein was right on the money, it's like all those power shots that he was able to land, those swift uppercuts, those body shots, were all coming off of the jab. And that's going to suit Canelo really well as he's into this second or latter stages of his career. But that's was the big story for me heading into this fight, all fight week long. I want to see how Canelo performs. I want to see if he still has the hunger. And he very clearly does in that post-fight interview, man. Like, I love boxing. He was saying, I fucking love boxing. That's awesome to see. 33 years old, and it's good for the sport. It's very good for the sport to have a guy like Canelo Alvarez rise up in this moment, look vintage, you know, score a knockdown. He didn't coast towards the end of the fight. I was curious to see after that knockdown if he was just going to kind of coast there. He still was applying pressure right down to the last minute. I think a rejuvenated Canelo is so good for the sport because now we can look about what's next.
No, I agree. I agree totally. And listen, the Canelo was showing that vintage Canelo-ness all week long. And we got to see it firsthand. You know, the way the fast quips he had at the press conferences, the way he was at the weigh-in, he looked like a monster at the weigh-in. He looked like ready to eat Charlo's soul. And walking to the ring, the way he was, every aspect of what you want from the guy, from the man of the sport, Canelo had tonight and had this week. So yeah, Canelo's back in a big way, and that's good for boxing. I'm excited. He was excited. He after that fight, he was so excited. And I love the fact that this is how you see how long that he's been in this sport. They asked him if he was upset not getting a knockout. No, he was just happy to be here, happy to get the win. He happy to get a win over a very good opponent, which Charlo is. But also, he didn't make any qualms about the fact that Charlo didn't engage, didn't give him a chance to get knocked out. Because that's really what happened. If Charlo really fought him and stood down, he would have got knocked out. And we had said that leading up to it. Yeah. He didn't give him any opportunity to load up or to, you know, he was loading up, to build any kind of momentum. Because he just wasn't engaging. And he just kept moving and staying away and just not really throwing. Yeah, he wasn't trying to win.
How do you not engage, man, in the biggest fight down the stretch? Like, how do you not sell out? Still get all your belts if you lose.
We said it all week, man. We saw it. I saw it the way he just didn't. He didn't have it. He didn't believe in himself. He didn't believe in the situation. He was in over his head. Even in the All Access when he was talking, I'm like, this doesn't sound like a guy who thinks he belongs here. Yeah. And it showed. It showed. He lived up to everything that he was acting the way leading up to the fight. And it's unfortunate because when he did do things, I said the left hook was the thing that was going to give him the respect from Canelo. He landed some really good tricky left hooks on Canelo, and Canelo thought twice about it. But then he also saw, he was like, "You're not going to do that again. I'm getting right on your ass, and you're going to go back to doing what you're doing." They were like few and far between. It was just to get him off him. There was an intent behind anything that Charlo did.
Yeah, Canelo, he looked damn good. That's a good thing for the sport. And we go to what's next, right? These post-fight podcasts are the funnest part for me, this segment right here. I want to see the Crawford fight. I do. Crawford's in attendance tonight. I'm looking on Twitter right now to see if there's anything from Crawford, if he had anything to be in there, if he said anything there. No, there isn't yet. But I want to see Canelo fight Crawford. I do. But they're coming off this performance, Canelo looking like a tank at 168, looking like really strong there. Do the Benavidez fight now.
Yes.
Do the Benavidez fight next. Get you seem like you're at the peak right now, Canelo. Get Benavidez now before he gets any better. You're in that zone at 168. You're hungry. You're powerful. That right there is a huge, huge mega fight. Crawford will always be there.
Yeah, no, Benavidez is the fight. You know that. I want that fight. That's the one that I want. And it's one of those fights where I want it sooner than later because I really think that Canelo can actually win that fight now. Before I didn't. I thought I was saying, I'm like, ah, Benavidez is too much. And the Kido Plant fight happened. I'm like, all right, I can see Canelo winning this fight. There are things about Benavidez that he hasn't figured out yet. But it's going to happen. He's going to get there. I think he's going to learn a lot from that Andrade fight. And he's going to be a more dangerous guy after that fight if he wins, because that's not a gimme either. But listen, that's the fight. How big is that for Mexico?
Huge.
Come on, the Mexican fans, forget it.
On Cinco de Mayo weekend, we'll be back in Las Vegas.
It is perfect.
Just book our flights, man, right now, because that it's a perfect fight, and there's a lot of momentum, especially if Benavidez can take out Andrade. And mm-hmm. which is November 25th.
Especially if he does it impressively. If he's right. able to really put it down and put a stamp on a secure a really solid victory over a guy like Andrade, that's a huge statement.
But what great like problems to have in boxing, or great options to have. Canelo back and looking great, and a Terrence Crawford fight that could seemingly be made through all the politics of boxing at 168. It just sounds insane. And then there's Benavidez, a 25-year-old guy lurking who's been a monster for 4 or 5 years now. So these are really good problems to have, really good options for boxing, really good options for PBC. And for Canelo, I really think he was listening all week and in the last couple of months to all the chirps. You know, we were even saying it on our show, like, oh, man, you know, you could have took Ryder out of there. The Golovkin fight was ho-hum. You know, obviously he had the hand injury, so it seems like he's healthy. And if maybe you need that, you know, when you're 33 years old, you've been in the ring there, Chris, like maybe you need some extra motivation when you're, you know, past 30 years old and you have everything in life and you still have it. So maybe he needed that Jordan last dance type of, I took that personally and it showed, and that's great for us.
Well, I think a lot of guys and a lot of us do this. We make narratives in our own head, whether they're real or not. And you can always find narratives. It's boxing, right? There's always Twitter heads tweeting about some stupid word.
Me right now.
Yeah, but I think he took to that. He's saying certain things to take and think of the heart. He said, like, you know, Charlo doesn't believe my boxing ability. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that was really said, or if it was, it was a decade ago. Who knows? You know, it doesn't really matter. But it doesn't matter. The narrative was built in his own mind to get him up for it. Just like, you know, the competitiveness of all greats. You mentioned Jordan having that kind of idea. Like, listen, you're not beating Jordan in ping pong. And if you do, he's going to hate you until you play again. Right. You know, that's you makes that in his mind. Like, I have to destroy this guy. And I think Canelo's, you know, doing that too. He's taking a page out of that. And he is that level of athlete. So good. It's good for the sport when he's hungry. And let's keep him that way for as long as we can.
So you're in agreement that you want to see Benavidez next?
Yes. And I've always wanted that.
Right. Benavidez next. Let Crawford figure out Spence and everything there. How much of a chance do you give Benavidez with the version of Canelo that we just saw?
I still give him a chance because it's a very different style, and he's not going to phone it in like Charlo. He's going to fight. And a lot of the things that he does would be difficult for Canelo to deal with. The size is a big one because he's just as big as Bivol, even though Bivol's a 75 pounder. Like, he is just that big, and he's very, very busy, throws a lot of punches. But there's also opportunities for him to get countered, and Canelo can pick his spots. But the activity, the youth, the size that's a lot to tackle. But Canelo, man, looked good tonight. When you got that counter punching tank who puts power and pressure on you nonstop. Dude, that's the guy I said a couple years ago. I'm like, yeah, how do you beat that guy? Mm-hmm. When he was fighting Caleb Plant, I'm like, how do you beat that version of that guy? What do you do? You can't hit him. He's got great defense. He walks you down. He's got that aggressive head movement. He's walking you down. He's closing the distance. Everything he throws is hard and explosive and eye-catching. That was a big thing. We spoke about that in terms of these guys, how inactive both of them are. But Canelo's so explosive. Everything he throws, you see.
Yep.
And that's why the judges' scorecards are so wide. It's, you know, you can't even give Charlo rounds because everything he does is so eye-catching. And so even rounds that are closer that you can argue, it's like, well, yeah, but I remember that huge vaunted left hook that he threw that, you know, like that hit the glove and made a big sound. Like, that matters.
I also think something I learned this week and is that Canelo is really comfortable, obviously, on the big stage. And I think Charlo wasn't. And I think Benavidez, who knows? But I think that I think that Canelo being on that big stage for a decade now when he was walking to the ring, I was like, yo, we've been watching this guy for a decade walk do a ring walk for a big fight. And we saw
he's only 33, which is wild to even think.
It's unbelievable. So I do like this week showed me that the stage really means something. And Canelo's very comfortable on the big stage. We'll see if Benavidez is comfortable on that stage too. We know that Crawford will be very, very comfortable on the big stage, but that's a whole nother conversation because he's going up against a guy 20 pounds bigger than he usually fights at. But Canelo Alvarez gets the win. Good gracious. Appreciate everyone that has been following along all week. We're not in Vegas. We left on Friday to get home for other commitments. But Canelo still gets the job done. Everyone that followed along in Vegas, it was a whirlwind of a week. An awesome week. A Canelo fight week. First for us at John Boy Boxing. So, yeah, it was a great week, right?
Very good week. Very good week. I'm very tired.
I'm very tired right now.
That was a long, long card.
How was the red eye?
I slept pretty much all the time, so I can't complain.
Nice. All right. We'll see you on Tuesday or Wednesday when we have our, we can really think about what's next for Canelo, and we'll have more news, I'm sure, by that point. All right, Chris, thanks for the time. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Canelo Alvarez still has it. Viva la Mexico. Viva la cabrones. Keep your hands up at all time. Protect yourselves at all time. Stay out of those DMs unless you got some VMC drinks that Canelo just put.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.